God is using the evil that seems to be waxing worse by the day in this world to loosen our tight grip as Christians on this world. I'm always careful whenever I talk about this or share this because I love this country. I love the freedom in this country. My parents left the Middle East when I was 9 months old. They fled oppressive Islam back then. I tell you, had they never done that, not only do I not believe I would still be alive, I don't know that I would be saved if I were. It was because of my parents coming here, as difficult as it was back in the 60s, to come to this country because of the freedoms in this country. Sadly, we're witnessing many of those freedoms quickly evaporate. And it was certainly evidenced by the Supreme Court legalizing same-sex marriage. I found it rather interesting that on the heels of this deliberate mocking of God's judgment, and it is deliberate, that many saw this and even celebrated this as a good thing. And it's not from those you would think. What's troubling is it's from those who profess to be Christians. They actually think that God is okay with this. I can't say I was surprised when a dear friend of mine emailed me this link to a CNN article with this title. You see it there on the screen. Rainbow Flag Maker was inspired by Bible, U.S. flag. I'm not even going to quote from the article. It's too grievous. If this weren't bad enough, it was reported that some 26 million Facebook users added a rainbow on top of their profile picture. Yesterday, my family and I went to the 4th of July parade in Kailua, as we have every year. And you'll forgive me, but when our military and our veterans went by, hardly a few inconvenienced themselves to stand and show them honor. One time, I found that I was the only one clapping and standing. Everyone around me, sitting. But when the rainbow flag and the gay pride group came by, that applause was afforded to them. Broke my heart. You know what I felt like? I felt like I was at a memorial service for the United States of America, grieving the death of that which was once the greatest and most blessed country in the world. The Lord ministered to me that it's becoming quite clear that we're living in a day that was best described by the letter to the lukewarm church in Laodicea. Kindly allow me to read it. It's in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, stop. Right out of the chute, this seventh of seven churches, the only one that Jesus has John write to the church of the Laodiceans. All the other churches, the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Sardis, Thyatira, Philadelphia, is to the angel of the church of Ephesus, the angel of the church of Smyrna, the angel of the church of Sardis. When he gets to Laodicea, it says, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Why? Well, the name says it all. The name is the nature. Laodicea is a combination of two English words, laity and diocese. The laity decide. The laity rule. This was a church where the people were calling the shots. That's why it was the church of the Laodiceans. It was their church. Jesus isn't even in it. He's knocking on the door outside of it, asking to come in to sup with them and them with him. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Interesting choice of words. The ruler of God's creation. I think the Supreme Court of the United States of America needs to have indelibly etched this verse on their arms. The ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Better translated, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You have to understand something about this ancient city of Laodicea and this lukewarm church that was in it. This was a very prosperous place. You can visit the ruins in modern day Turkey today. I wouldn't recommend it necessarily. It was the banking center of the known world. They had the latest in medical breakthroughs with regards to the eyes. They were also the fashion runway of the world. You see why Jesus says what he says to them? You think you're clothed in the latest fashions? You're naked. You think you're rich with your banking center? You're bankrupt. You think you see because of your medical breakthroughs with your eye salve? No, you're blind. This is describing a church who doesn't think they need God. This is describing a church that has kicked God out. Sound familiar? Judgment begins in the house of God. I would suggest that the church of Jesus Christ today is at the crossroads of decision. And you'll forgive the bluntness with which I communicate this. It's just a matter of time before it's going to be too late. The decision that every church and every Christian in every church must make is this. In whom or in what are we placing our trust? Are we placing our trust in a 2016 leadership change with the upcoming elections? Are we trusting in the separation of church and state? By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but the separation of church and state was to keep the state out of the church, not the church out of the state. It reminds me of what Isaiah says about calling good evil and evil good, a curse unto them that make that which is sweet bitter and that which is bitter sweet. Let me take it a step further and suggest that everything that is happening in the world, I truly believe, is God's way of waking up and shaking up the world. I could be wrong in some ways. I hope I am, but I do not see a revival before the rapture. God is shaking up and waking up so the world will be looking up for Christ's return. Is it not true that when adversity strikes, it causes people to get serious about God and the things of God? You've heard it before, and you'll hear it again, especially from me. As long as God in His grace gives me breath behind this pulpit, I will say it until the trumpet sounds. I still believe with all my heart that we are on the cusp of the Lord's return and that the rapture is imminent. Pastor, you've been saying that for years. I know. But here's the thing. And think about this. If one is really honest, they have to conclude that beyond any reasonable doubt, Bible prophecy is not only being fulfilled, it's being fulfilled quickly. Key word, quickly. On the way to church this morning, my 14-year-old son, Levi, asked me about the tachometer. And it reminded me of Revelation chapter 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." The original word in the Greek for quickly is tachos, where we get our English word for tachometer. It's a measurement based on a fixed, in this case, time, minutes, revolutions per minute. And I was explaining to him how that you can rev up the engine. That's how many revolutions per minute the engine is going. 3,000, 4,000. You don't want to go much over that. Unless you have a muscle car that can handle it. But it's called revving up revolutions per minute. The time is fixed. The revolutions are increasing. When Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly," what He's saying is, "Behold, I'm coming at a time when things are revving up, happening quickly. The revolutions per minute are increasing, like the labor pains in intensity and frequency." Well, what's different now than when you first started saying this, how many years ago now? Back in 2006, how many years is that? Nine? Going on 9 years. You've been saying this for 9 years. Well, what's interesting is that there is this growing number of students and teachers of Bible prophecy who are all now saying the same thing. 9 years ago, they weren't saying the same thing. 5 years ago, they were not saying the same thing. Now, they are saying the same thing. What are they saying? We are very, very close. What we're seeing take place is the likes of which we have never seen before. Can I ask you a question? If someone would have come to you 10 years ago, that would have been 2005, by the way. If someone would have come to you in 2005 and said to you what the world would look like in 2015, would you have believed them? That was 10 years ago. Would you have believed it 5 years ago? That's how fast everything is happening. Now, add to that, in concert with that, the growing number of mockers and scoffers, and they are growing in numbers, who scoff and mock Bible prophecy, and they're saying the exact opposite. This is yet another prophecy that's now being fulfilled like never before concerning those who mock and scoff, and they live their lives as if the Lord is never coming back. They have no fear of God in their eyes. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. My oldest son, Elias, my 17-year-old, asked me as we were having dinner yesterday, he said, "Do you hate gays?" I said, "Absolutely not. I love them, and God loves them. But I feel so sorry for them because they're so deceived." I assure you that if they knew that the Lord was coming back, that would be a game changer. You know what's interesting? Is the Apostle Peter would mention in the context of people mocking. They do it deliberately, and they forget, deliberately forget, that God destroyed the world in a flood. Don't you find that ironic? Oh, 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me just read it real quickly. Verse 3, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.'" But they deliberately forget, that long ago by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. That's the flood. That's the flood. I saw a very interesting post on Facebook. You take a symbol of God's judgment on the world and parade it in defiance of God's judgment. Excuse me while I go find cover. Other posts. Well, God hasn't destroyed us yet. The sun's still shining. The day after the Supreme Court decision, we're still here. Where is this coming of his? They deliberately forget, and it gets even more interesting in verse 7. "By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." And that day is coming. And it's interesting that Peter, by the Holy Spirit, would say, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, not even the LGBT community. He wants everyone, including them, maybe even especially them, to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth, and this is a really interesting way of saying it, and the NIV gets it. The earth and everything done in it, all the evil that is done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, talking to the church now, here's the question. What kind of people ought you to be? He answers it. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And speed, it's coming? Sign me up. How do we speed the coming of the Lord? Let's get this show on the road. That's another teaching for another time. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But, in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Let me just put this into perspective. 1,000 years for us is like one day for the Lord. Now, if it's, let's just, for purpose of discussion, say 6,000 years. And I know I'm out of time. Don't look at your watches. They're all fast. I'm almost done. If you take 1,000 years to us as one day for the Lord, and it's been, for purpose of discussion, 6,000 years since God created Adam and Eve, it's only been 6 days. What was 6 days ago? Last Monday. Wasn't that 6 days ago, Monday? Well, let's just say it is. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know, was it? Yeah. Let's just say it was. That would be like last Monday. That's how long ago it was that God created Adam and Eve. He doesn't live in time. He's not confined by time. He lives in eternity. That's a gauge, I guess you could say, by which we can measure how long it's been. Now, when you see it that way, and you understand it that way, He's not being slow in keeping His promise. It's only been 6 days to God. But that day is coming. That day is coming. And I believe that day is here. Let me close with just the remainder of this passage in 2 Peter, verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as, and I love this about Peter, talking about the Apostle Paul. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters, and yes, he did. But I love this about what Peter says, and it's very interesting. He says, of Paul's letters, his letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Which, and this is key, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction.